Is it recording?
Yeah, I hope so.
This is recording?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
this is, hi, Mom.
We have our outtake session here.
So oh, that's good. That's good.
And everything, so. Alabama Frozen Hour. We get to recap the Columbus Classic. We introduce one of our new co-hosts that will be rotating throughout the spring, as well as we get to preview the second half of the season. And we got a good topic as we've got a holiday right around the corner from when this episode publishes. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. Spencer Thompson, Kate Aitchison, Hannah Alpern. Preston is on medical leave, essentially. He's on the other side of the camera, and sound his vocal cords sound like a horse, you know the saying, horse throat. He's run a couple of races up in the casinos and the horse tracks a little bit here and there. So wishing him all the best. He's on the other side of the camera, listening and smiling and wondering why did I just make fun of his voice in that circumstance.
He says hi.
He says hi. But we're joined by Will Morrow, senior here at the University of Alabama, and just like we did with all of our guests and all of our other co-hosts and everything, Will's going to be rotating throughout the spring and joining us on hosting stuff. But Will, appreciate you taking the time to be here, and just want to make sure we give you the opportunity to talk about what the journey has been like for Will Morrow from the moment you knew you wanted to be involved in sports media to now on the cusp of being employed in sports media come graduation.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate you guys having me, of course. As Spencer said, my name's Will Morrow. I've been a news media student here at Alabama for the last 4 years, sports media concentration. In terms of how long I've known I wanted to do this for a living, kind of as soon as I came to school here at this mecca of college sports, the University of Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that, yeah, it was kind of my calling. I've known for a while I've wanted to just, all I want to do is yap about sports for a living. And, yeah, you guys have given me the platform to do so, especially in this field. I played high school hockey for 4 years now, Division III. But, yeah, it's hopefully my limited experience can help me out here.
He's quite the yapper, isn't he?
Oh, he's a king of yapper. If there's one thing me and Will love to do, it is yap and yap about sports. We get told all the time, Spencer included, and I'm sure Hannah, we get told all the time, can we please talk about anything else?
Oh, absolutely.
We love to talk, we talk quick, and we're so excited to have Will, especially with the hockey background.
And I know they say that personality trait is sports. That's very much the case with these two.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll find out. So, this past weekend, none of us were in Columbus, Georgia for the rescheduled Columbus Classic for College Hockey South, but the women's team was there and got to participate. Originally, it was the weekend of the Alabama-Georgia football game, so obviously they declined to go. Same thing with the University of Georgia women's team. And the women's team went 2-1 on the weekend, and one of the benefits of it does not count for College Hockey South standings. It gave them a chance to play Tampa before they head down to Tampa in January. So let's talk first about their first matchup on Friday, November 15th. Whoa, huge margin
what
of victory.
What a game that was.
Huge margin of victory between those two. The box score on that, 7-3 at the end of the first in favor of the Crimson Tide. 4-1 in the second, again, favored Alabama. And then a 6-0 shutout in the third period.
Crazy.
And they didn't keep track of shots on the scoreboard there for the day one festivities of the Columbus Classic. That was game three of the tournament at the Columbus Civic Center. But Kate, just raining goals for the Alabama Frozen Tide.
Raining. And we just mentioned, but the spread of the goals was actually one of the most insane parts of the game. Me and Will were just barely watching it back, refreshing our memory. And there are really just spurts of dominance and then quietness. And like mentioned at the end, just banged out. You said six, correct?
In the third period.
We were working on football last weekend, but in the third period, just banged out 6-0. It was just you watch the fire in the team come out. You watch the team get together, and everyone was wildly confident for this entire game, as far as I saw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first period. First time we've had an alarm go off in the middle.
Oh, that's great.
Great first impression.
Hot start for the kid. Apologies, y'all.
You know, the first goal that was scored against the Miami Hurricanes was by Grzybowski with assistance from Carson and Sineski. After that, the Miami had a Hurricane with Ali Litzinger for roughing. Rory Clark scored after the power play by a couple of minutes. And then Miami finally got on the board at 8:16 in the first with Megan Malapeski, I think that's how that's pronounced. I probably butchered it. My apologies to you, Megan. But then a response a couple minutes later by the captain, Kira Duffany, with Megan Jackson on the assistance. And again, just raining goals throughout this. Ali Litzinger with Justina Holland on the assist, and then two goals straight. Carson assisted by Saber and Corson. Sheely assisted by LaRose on a goal. It seemed like the ratio, at least in that first period, was for every two goals the Frozen Tide scored, it was one scored by Miami.
Oh, for sure. And I think, like Kate was saying earlier, where it was just like raining goals for Alabama. But then also we would sit back for time periods, and then you wouldn't expect, like, we would just come out of nowhere and then just start going and going and going.
Absolutely.
And it was like almost when Miami would come up and score, that was when Alabama was sitting back and playing defense, and then we would just come up and then score the 2-1 ratio, like you said.
Now, the one benefit we have in this podcast, this episode, is that we have, aside from the guests we've had with the women's players, we have a former hockey player who's here with us. And another benefit of these tournaments hosted by College Hockey South is that they live stream their games. I called the two final games for the Veterans Cup a couple weeks ago. And Will loves his film study.
Loves
to be able to go back and
love watching the tape.
And he was telling me he was watching the tape from Alabama's games in this past tournament. So from this Miami game, what do you think stood out to you the most?
Well, I would like to say, Spencer, that right off the bat, I want to highlight the first period. That first half of the first period, there was a dominance in puck possession, time of possession, controlling the puck in that offensive zone. And yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest key was winning those puck battles in the corner for these ladies. It was one of my favorite sayings is forecheck, backcheck, paycheck. You saw a lot of these two-way players doing their thing early on. And it resulted in key turnovers, key goals. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Came out flying early.
Yeah, second period it started out with a penalty, but that didn't come until the 12:57 minute mark by Ali Litzinger for Miami. No score on that from Alabama's side. Emily Scott got on the board at 5:59 with assistance from Sheely and Corson. And then Miami, within 60 seconds, came back with Justina Holland, assisted by Megan Malapeski. Again, I apologize if I'm butchering that.
At this point, just call her Megan.
Yeah, I said Megan. Number 21 for the Hurricanes. And then, again, another instance of quick response. You had a goal from Scott, then goal from Holland, and then goal from Carson. And then Grzybowski ended up breaking the score past the 60-second mark. It looks like we were just having a back and forth in that second period.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the second, it got a lot. Towards the end, it opened up a little bit for the Crimson Tide, the Frozen Tide. But
it works.
Right. Yeah, interchangeable in this case. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, it turned out to be a little bit more, a little bit less indicative of the score, the evenness of play in the second there. It was a lot of quick opportunities for Miami. They would enter the zone quickly, and it wouldn't set up very much, but they would score very efficiently from the top of the circle there, and yeah.
Yeah, Carson got that goal at the 4:06 mark, Grzybowski at 2:54, and then the final 51 seconds scored by Clark with assistance from Carson and Sheely, and then 6-0 shutout. There was a penalty by Alabama, Rory Clark at 8:03 in the third, about 2 minutes for roughing, but no other stat really put on the board for the Miami Hurricanes. So great victory on that first matchup, 17-4, and then
can we not say insane victory?
Oh,
on
yeah.
That first matchup. I was just like we said, a great, great, great game, just dominance. Mm-hmm.
And if the game sheet will actually load for me here, we had the second loss for Tampa. So I'll look at the game board stuff in a second. There we go. 4-2, the final score in that second game on Saturday against the University of Tampa. Box score 1-1 at the end of the first. So seemed like a battle like the High Point University series in Pelham. And then Tampa started taking the lead at 2-1 in the second. And up until the final 7 minutes, to the 7 minute and 30 second mark in the third, It was 2-2. Three to two. And it stayed that way for a good amount of the start of that third period, and then Tampa managing to get on the board and left the lead at 4-2. I believe Alabama pulled their goaltender towards the end to try and get some scores.
They really just
crept
up that whole game. It was slow and creepy is the best way I can describe.
Yeah, you're good. But only the second loss for the Frozen Tide on the season, which shows how dominant they've been throughout the season. And we were mentioning this before we got on the air of how this does not count for College Hockey South standings or College Hockey South play. And they play Tampa on the road in January, so good chance for them to start getting used to what play they're looking at, how the team functions, and a great way for them, a great battle test for them heading into January.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Hannah, you were also looking at this too.
Yes, I was looking at this game as almost like kind of like an insight as to what January is going to bring. Those are some of our first games of the spring semester coming up, and I think especially with a big gap of like Thanksgiving break and then winter break for everyone, being able to see Tampa before January and come after a huge break like that, I think this is a great insight for our girls. They can go into practice this week, and I believe they have practice on dead week as well, and then kind of prepare for those games, and then everyone kind of take their own time over the breaks and prepare themselves and improve where they feel like they need to.
Yeah, and one of the rare things you also see in a hockey game is that the goaltender gets substituted out unless there's some sort of injury or anything along those lines, and doesn't detail whether it was an injury on game sheet, but Clara Keurig for Tampa got replaced by Sophie Reichert. And from that point, if I'm not mistaken, there was not a goal from the Frozen Tide. It was She was replaced almost right after Samantha Lance scored against Claire Carson in the second period. So shutout at least in about a period and a half on Tampa's side of the ice. But and you like to study the film. You got to see a little bit of this. When you look at that 4-2 score, what stands out in your mind?
I think another game that's a little closer than the score would indicate. Obviously, you get that empty netter towards the end. But yeah, I mean, in terms of that goaltender change, it doesn't seem like the type of thing. It definitely seems like there could have been an injury involved. I wouldn't pull my goalie if I only gave up two.
Sure.
But yeah, absolutely another tight game for the Frozen Tide.
Yeah, and for Tampa, it was a score first by Lauren Cloherty with Cronin and Brooks on the assist. They had a penalty shortly after that with Goga Loda, who got 2 minutes for roughing. Carson got on the board with Saber on the assist, but then Emily Scott getting two minutes for roughing. Cronin on the other side, 2 minutes for roughing, and then Grzybowski, two. We had a roughing fest at the end of the last period. That's three times in a row.
I find that's not uncommon with how passionate the girls are. They tend to get a little passionately set into the box once they are struggling to gain control like they typically do in their games.
Yeah, opening in the second period, there's a penalty for too many players on the ice for Tampa. Samantha Lance capitalized on that about 5 minutes later with assist from Carson on a goal there. And then that was when the goaltender change happened. You had Molly Braga score for Tampa shortly after that with McGregor on the assist. Penalty on both sides. Cloherty with 2 minutes for roughing. Zahorchak called for 2 minutes of roughing. Both at the same time. So they were both called on the roughing side. I have a feeling, I don't know if you saw it on the film side, was there any sort of fighting between the two that led to that?
It definitely seemed like it got a little chippy. Nothing crazy below board, though. It was, just a very physical game through and through.
16 seconds after that, Molly Braga scored for Tampa. And then third period, she scored again with Cronin on the assist at the 7:30-minute mark. And one penalty at the end and tripping for Leah Klingel. And that resulted in a 4-2 loss for the Frozen Tide. But at least on the season with their record going into that, they were at 8 wins and 2 losses at that point, and not affecting the point standings in College Hockey South. And then the final game, University of South Florida facing off against Alabama. Good bounce back victory the next day at 5-1. And Alabama shut them out for two periods too. 1-0 at the end of the first, 2-0 at the end of the second.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was a good game to watch where I really enjoy it. I enjoy the, personally, especially in hockey, the high scoring games are fun, but the lower scoring games, when you can tell there's a lot of technique, a lot of fight going on, a lot more defense, a lot more getting the puck and things like that. I love those games. And as you mentioned, it was just a perfect bounce back to where Alabama was able to shut out for two periods, come back with 4 points over, and it was good to see them come back with a cleaner game. There was less aggression, less issues on that regard, and that went into their favor.
Yeah, Carson scored in the first period, Anna Wojciechowska on the assistants, and then two penalties, one for South Florida, Zlorna Panagian with 2 minutes for tripping, and then Avery LaRose, 2 minutes for hooking. Then you go into the second period, and Alabama took a while to finally get back on the board with Sabre scoring with Corson and Carson on the assist. Then
right.
shortly after that, Roy Clark called for hooking as well.
Sure.
But
yeah.
Alabama bouncing back within 3 minutes. Carson assisted by Sabre and LaRose, and then a penalty in the final 6 seconds of the second period with Alexis Pizaz on 2 minutes for roughing. But seemed like the Frozen Tide came alive in that second period.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's one thing that the women's team especially uses to their strength so much, is you can never count them out in any game, no matter what the score is, whether they're up so much or if they're down, you can never count them out. And especially like going off all these penalties, they're so aggressive on that ice, and like it's crazy because they are the sweetest girls off the ice.
Oh my god, yeah.
But they step on that ice and it is like game face comes on, like it's a whole different level of intensity on there.
100%. And I talk about it all the time. I will continue to talk about it. It goes to show, and it comes straight from how close they are as a team, the straight up love they have for each other, the sport, mm-hmm. how they can fire themselves, each other on the benches and on the ice. And when something happens, whether something's going their way, something's not going their way, you can never count them out because they have the heart and they are mm-hmm. the sweetest girls off ice, and they really put in the most honest, hard work. Mm-hmm. And it lights up on the ice. And we talk about it all the time, but it's a special team because it was started with just girls that were friends. Like, why don't we do this? And now all these girls work together to make this program work.
Yeah.
And they get their talents. They're just so good for each other. And you watch it on the bench, you watch it on the ice, and it shows itself in their scores every single game.
I'd be afraid to see how Will is on the ice.
Oh, if man.
That seems like logic, because he's a good guy and kind to see him. You can't see him here.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, coming from somebody who had more penalty minutes than he did ice time back in fall league, I got into it. I understand
no,
that heart that goes
nice
into this.
Smiley ones. It's because they're making it for their karma. Don't be fooled, y'all. Their contact sports.
Looks like a teddy bear could kill you.
I wonder if he used his signature phrase after he would check someone into the boards. Check him and go, thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Will Morrow.
Appreciate this opportunity to toss him through the wall.
Shake your hand. Networking.
Always networking, folks.
But you know, especially as a player, that when you, even if you don't have this sort of complacency no matter what the score is, and on paper when you head into the third period going 3-0, whether you're on the side of being led or the side of leading, you have to bring your A game, especially in that third period. For Alabama, they got a penalty with Scott at the 10-minute mark. She had redemption and scored at the 6:46 mark in the third period. But when you were looking at the film of this game, what stood out to you in the third period?
In the third, I mean, it sings true throughout this entire Columbus Classic. These high-scoring third periods have made all of the difference. Six, again, as you mentioned, against Miami. Three in, only coughing up one against USF. Absolutely. It's a mental game in the third. If you're down, whether you're up, you want to keep that lead. The way I always put it was 15 minutes, 15 miles. For my guys, it was, you got to battle for every inch, and these girls pulled that off.
No, I think 100%. I think that once again, and it sounds like a broken record, but it rings so true in every aspect of it, shown throughout their entire season, where not every single stat, but the third period often is, like she said, they can light up, you can never count them out. They always show out. And you said, as an athlete, you understand. I think a better description is, a good athlete understands, and that's the difference between a good team and a mediocre team, is mediocre teams count themselves out, they lose the spirit, they lose the drive, they lose the grit, however it's described in that athlete. But good teams, no matter what, find that fire, find that passion, find that fight, and because Alabama has the talent and the team can work together and they're always encouraging each other, that fight comes out in the third often.
And I think another thing that you mentioned is the mental battle, that a great team has the mental strength to realize that a third period isn't just the physical aspect anymore and like how much endurance you still have, but also the mental state of you still have that endurance in yes. your mind to finish out yes. the game.
No matter the score, whether they're up, they finish out with big scores, obviously, yes. on the 17-point game. And then if they're down, they finish out with big scores. And it just it shows itself over and over and over again. And we expect to see that after the break back in January because they know that. And I imagine they'll capitalize it.
Right.
And mentioning it again with the whole standings not being affected by this tournament, Alabama's at number one right now. It's 2 days ago they updated 14 points total on the standings. South Florida right behind them at 12 points. And to, at least from what I've seen on the schedule, they're not facing off against South Florida, to my knowledge. It's there against Tampa, who is creeping up right now at that 10-point margin going into the standings. So that those matchups in January could very well be for number one or number two seed or even right, the three seed heading into the College Hockey South playoffs, because on the schedule right now, Alabama's only got these games against Tampa left and against Georgia Southern at the moment. So it's this is very much one of those where you're getting down to the stretch of the playoffs. You're trying to determine which teams are going to get the number one seed and the easier path on paper to the playoffs. So this is one of those where you're fighting really down the stretch where, I don't know, were you in any playoff situations in your time?
I was once or twice. No thanks to me, of course. I was very much a bench warmer.
That's why you works in sports.
Exactly. That's why I'm working here and not playing. But yeah, no, absolutely. I definitely faced a few tough playoff eliminations and, you know, the whole key obviously is fighting till the very end, fighting down the stretch.
What's the mental, like, knowledge and, like, feelings going into playoffs and, like, tight, like, point margins and that kind of thing?
I was in a lot of situations where there were like a lot of tight divisional matchups going into it, and all you can do is play your game. You have to, you know, focus on your team, focus on, even if you don't control your own destiny, play like you do. Win every game you can, fight till the end.
Yeah, especially on the playoff side. Now, talking about that focus and having people who try to put you in a situation for the playoffs and go down the stretch, how about Claire Carson?
Oh, my goodness.
Claire Carson.
I've been waiting to highlight the freshman, man. I've been excited about this.
So I mentioned I was calling those two games for the College Hockey yes. South tournament. Claire was our camera operator.
Really?
Savannah yes. kind of drug her out. I say that because we all love Savannah. We know how it works. Yes. So she's like, you got to come with me. I need somebody to go into the tournament and such. And Claire didn't even know she was going to be helping on the media side. And she
I
was running cameras. So she and I were talking in between periods and chatting it up and everything. And so she got honored by College Hockey South as the Week 11 Star of the Week. So congratulations to Claire on that.
Congratulations. Well deserved.
Oh, yeah. 7 goals, 5 assists, 12 points. She is the points leader right now in the women's division by 7 points, only second to Paige Ukes, who's played. She transferred mid-semester because she was with University of Georgia and Georgia Southern. So leading by 7 points right now as a freshman.
I just like snaps. She just like performs. She performs well, calm, cool, collected under pressure. I can't say enough good things about her on the ice, off the ice. I don't think anyone anywhere can say anything but good things.
Of course. And I wanted to highlight, obviously, those 7 goals are mind-boggling. Please. But I want to highlight those 5 assists.
Oh, yeah.
She
yeah.
finds ways to create opportunities. That first goal against Miami was a little, she picked up the puck in the neutral zone, found a way to make that second pass.
Oh, yeah.
Very little hesitation, but a lot of poise, a lot of patience from the freshman.
I think those statistics show the standard of that this team is, and also once these seniors graduate, that she's only a freshman. She's still going to be here, and she's still going to uphold this standard and continue to play at such an incredible level for someone that age.
I agree, and she's going to continue to play. And also, as a person, I think poised and just exactly how she was described, and the statistics go to show how she is just as a person. So I'm excited to see her be a huge mentor, a huge player. She is a name to watch out for this year and on.
Yeah, she's got one shorthanded goal on the season, the only other notable stat, at least thus far, for Claire Carson, but getting a well-deserved honor. And I remember we had Samantha Lance on a couple of weeks ago, and you and I were talking to her about how she immediately called her family members and was just so excited to get that honor. I need to ask Claire how she felt when she got this honor.
Me
and was
too.
Notified of a couple.
Samantha, also another one, just like same thing, okay. And that is we go back to these two. I am incredibly proud that they are highlighted, well-deserved, and the entire team is just full of women like that, and that is why they are who they are as quickly as they have become.
Yes.
Where do you want to predict where Samantha Lance is right now on the points leaders in the women's division?
Oh my God. Can I just guess two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which number? Oh, which numbers you got? Or just ranking? Where do you think she is on the points leaders?
Oh my god. Oh, don't put me on the spot like this. Don't put me on the spot like this.
You can't say that after I put you on the spot.
No.
Will, you want to take a guess?
Take it. Yeah. Oh, I
don't know if I could guess either, but I'm saying top 10.
Okay, Hannah.
I would say top 3.
You got one, Kate.
This is for the entirety of College Hockey South?
Yes, yeah, yes. For the women's division. Yes.
Top 10.
All right, she says top 10.
I'll just go somewhere. We'll go neutral, top 5.
Top 5. She's third. She is third. Right behind Paige Ukes.
I'm sorry I doubted you, Samantha.
I said second at first, and you looked at me like I was crazy.
That's on me.
You said top 10.
I was unfamiliar.
I said second at first, and you looked at me like I was crazy. I didn't get a really upset.
I feel like a schmuck now.
It's okay.
She was like second, third on that.
No, that's a great, I mean, again, well-deserved, well, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Excuse me. I could have guessed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And top 10 players, 3 of them are from the University of Alabama. Number
good
7
stuff.
Is Anna Zahorchak. She's nice. She's number 7 with 17 points.
Roll tide
to that.
I was waiting for at least one. We have this running joke where they sent me a video of like they're working on another project and they were about to start their take and the Mets had like this was in the
Vientos Grand Slam.
Yeah, we got
interrupted. Like
I'm so sorry, but I have to interrupt. And Will hops up. It was the funniest thing. And I pop my glasses.
Losing my mind.
Roll tide.
Because he's like, we're going to the World Series and everything. She just goes, oh.
And it's just a celebration.
I'm like, it's the Mets. You're talking about about Bama.
At least the roll tides are well placed today. Well deserved roll tides this evening.
So, I was waiting for the right moment.
Oh, anytime there's a celebration, if she doesn't say roll tide, there's something going on. There's something going
on. I'm
hungry
or something.
Oh, yeah. But again, congratulations to Claire Carson on the Week 11 honors for College Hockey South Star of the Week. Well deserved. I would not be surprised if she's on the list of November Stars of the Week for the women's division as well. We'll see how that goes as we get on the other side of Thanksgiving. All right, first half of the season for the women's team has been pretty special. They finished the first half at 9 wins and 2 losses. No overtime losses. To my knowledge, that not even an overtime game at this point.
Not that I know.
Not that I've seen.
They haven't gotten to that point, but it's been a wide margin of victory in the majority of their games. The closest ones that they have had are against High Point University in their one goal wins in those series there, and then their matchups against the University of South Carolina, their first loss of their program history within 2 goals, and then bounce right back to win by 5 goals. But the majority of these games have been such a wide margin that I would be scared if I were on the defensive side having to defend any of these
Absolutely.
Girls.
Absolutely. I was going to say there's no overtime because there's near no opportunities to be anywhere near needing overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is just domination after domination for the most part. Obviously, almost no team is perfect, and they are not perfect, but they get better every single game, and they perform well every single game.
And that's what Coach Davis was telling me after the South Carolina game that they lost. He mentioned, well, would have been nice to get on the perfection side, but at least that expectation is gone. And so the rest of the season doesn't really matter whether it's wins or losses. Certainly they're aiming for the win side, mentioned it's not as much pressure on them as there was before that game.
Yeah, and I don't think this team ever, obviously, like Kate said, there's no team that's perfect. But I think they go into practice every week, whether it's a win or a loss that they're coming off of, and they're working to improve whatever they might have slacked off on that last game or whatever. And I was talking to Coach Laxton after the last home series, and she was saying how, there's always something that this team is talking about and wanting to improve on, whether it's the coaches or a captain, assistant captain, or even a freshman on the team comes up to the coaches and is like, this is something I saw on the ice. I think we should work on this a little bit more in practice. And it just goes to show how much all these girls actually care about the team and improving as a team as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that mindset that you just spoke on, and then also what you just spoke on together, I think goes to show that we can expect a well-performing season because they have the experience and have proven that win or loss, good or bad, they can bounce back, they can continue something, they can learn from every single situation, and there's no reason they shouldn't continue to just get better.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you would especially know from your playing days, Will, that the losses, sure, you would like to have those games back, but it's also bulletin board material heading into the rest of the season, because you think they're more than likely they're going to get another crack at South Carolina in the playoffs. They're more than likely going to get another crack at the University of South Florida at some point. So I'm sure you know about that bulletin board material in the locker room.
I know all too well about losses, Spencer. We had a few rough seasons there, and all I can tell you about that is it absolutely lights a fire under you. It makes you want to work harder, and it just, you know, it pushes that idea of these girls are capitalizing on what they do well. And they're not trying to play anybody else's game. They're playing their own game. And I believe that'll show through the stretch.
Do you mention you had a couple of rough seasons in that regard? Were there any good seasons during your play?
There were a few. We had a few, played with a couple of kids who ended up going on to like Team USA camps and stuff like that. So they definitely helped us through. But yeah, those winning seasons, they're not necessarily undercut by the losses, but the losses absolutely fuel the wins.
Oh, yeah. So previewing this second half of the season, because this first half has just been an incredible ride to witness thus far, but we are certainly not done yet. This second half of the season starts actually sooner in Pelham on January 17th and 18th, where the Women's Frozen Tide will host the University of South Carolina. Very much an anticipated rematch of what we saw from those two games
excited.
On the road. That's, you know, especially thinking about, we've talked about how those scoring margins were close. And a big reason that not just Coach Laxton, but also the players and GM Savannah Prefontaine were telling me about is that they had about two or three of their starters out in South Carolina.
Right.
One of their players was in a wedding. Yes. I think one of them had a medical issue or something like
that.
They're going to have their full roster, for the most part, ready to go and not having to worry about leaving at 6:30 in the morning from Tuscaloosa.
That's what I was going to say. Not only that is full roster, they will have all this time. It'll be a second matchup. They'll have all this time to prepare, more film to study. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, there's no travel. There's no long day. There's no worrying about. There's no things to go wrong in that aspect. And so I'm excited to see these teams play when Alabama can be at their best. I'm very excited for that matchup. And I think, again, I have high expectations.
Now, I will say there might be a little bit of a long day on that first matchup because it is right now on the schedule at 10:15 Central.
I saw that.
So
amazing.
One of those later ones in Pelham, which
amazing.
It's not
I
uncommon.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, it's not uncommon because those things have happened before on matchups on the hockey scene. But Hannah, I know we don't really reveal secrets in the media side, but have you started thinking about some of the questions and interviews you want to look at heading into that series?
Yeah, for sure. Especially some of the like pregame interviews I want to conduct is like, this is their first rematch that they're going to see this whole season. So kind of like how they're preparing for that, what did we do differently preparing to go into this game based on what we've seen from South Carolina, based on shared competitors we've had in that sense and that kind of thing. But also like, is there going to be any difference in the preparation of that they have that game day specifically? Because like you mentioned, it's a later start than what they've ever seen before.
Yeah. And again, just to recap on this, Will, it was 4-6 on the first loss in program history on the road on that long day that we detailed fairly well, and then bounce back 9-4 win against the Lady Gamecocks. And it's one of those series that you can look into as a vengeance tour. You could also look into it as these are the first matchups of 2025. Technically still part of the season, but a new year. You never know what's going to happen, especially a week or two where the players are still settling into the new semester and trying to get their footing in that regard. From your days, do you feel like, because I don't know if you had any games that were scheduled right after the semester started, but do you feel like that has any sort of heavier or non-existent factor on gameplay?
I'd say it would. I think it's a new mentality going into the new year, of course. And I think especially with it being a rematch, they have to look at it as, okay, this is a chance to capitalize on what we've learned from our first program loss. And yeah, take it from there.
And then they'll try to take it from there. That next weekend, they head down to Florida. A little bit of warmer weather in January. We will not be on the road for that media side because our colleagues over at the University of Tampa have a fantastic broadcast crew that will be handling that one. I know you'll be jealous of that, and I know all of us would be jealous of that.
Absolutely jealous, but incredibly excited to watch.
But if you think about it, especially with that being a rematch, and this time it actually counting for conference play, they still have a long bus ride that they'll have to take on the 24th.
That'll be interesting.
So that'll be how it factors in. But when you look at how those games went down in Columbus and a little bit less of travel, what stands out to you the most between the Frozen Tide and Tampa?
Well, I would be really interested to know, either before or after from Hannah or somebody else, what they do differently in their travel day because of the last one. Not that it went poorly, but it clearly could have had some effect on their score with those 2 days. Yeah. I'm interested to see if they have anything different, if they have any tactics, and just truly how they're going to perform with, again, it being another rematch, it being a second road game. It'll be a chance for them to try some new things.
Mm-hmm. Especially considering, considering that those first few matchups, you highlighted the fact that we were missing a few players.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am of the opinion that home ice with that full roster, it mm-hmm. makes all the difference. There's a certain level of confidence that you carry into that game when you have all your starters ready to rock.
Absolutely.
And I think, that's going to make a huge impact going into that series.
And especially on the schedule right now, Hannah, they play on the 24th, 25th, and 26th. So both teams get three cracks at it, four points in College Hockey South play to be able to make a push going down the stretch heading into the CHS playoffs. And should be an interesting series. And I don't want to jinx it in saying that it should be must-watch television, but this really seems like it's going to have a huge impact on the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in the playoffs.
I think this series, when they go down to Tampa, will really be telling of what, like you said, what playoffs will end up looking like, who's going to be the first, second, third ranked seed, and ultimately how teams are looking in the second semester. Who knows, like, if there's going to be injuries that impact this, or someone transferred in the offseason. You never, like, things like that are just, you never know how they're going to play out.
And then the final matchup for the Frozen Tide, at least on paper right now, for the regular season. Senior night is supposed to be on February 1st. On paper right now, they're supposed to be facing off against Georgia Southern. The Georgia Southern has really struggled on the year, at least looking at the standings. They are last in College Hockey South play, 6 losses total. They have not really gotten even close in the matchups they had. The closest one they had was against the University of Tennessee, where they lost 1-3 in... That's an interesting arena name, The Cooler. I don't know exactly where that is.
Interesting.
But I think that's their home venue because they've had 3 matches that are there, but in The Cooler. So that one is fun. But the rest of their
losses...
Been a
little cold in The Cooler this season, it seems like. It's a shame.
Yes.
But they have their two-goal loss, and the rest of their matches, 5-goal loss, 12-goal loss. They had a close one by 2 goals against Auburn University at the start of the season back in September, but... This is one of those that you still don't underestimate the opponent you have, but Georgia Southern has really struggled on the year.
Yes, well, absolutely. You don't want to underestimate anybody, but as typically in a senior night, if that's the case, it should give them the opportunity for every player to have, especially every senior, to have the opportunity to show something off, do something special, and have a good moment.
Yeah.
I know senior night is still a little bit out, and there's a lot of planning and going behind the scenes. From your perspective, Hannah, have you seen anything specific that's going to be planned for that festivity?
I don't know anything specific. I know I'm working closely with Mia to be planning that.
Oh, yeah.
Because Savannah obviously will be graduating in the spring, so mm-hmm. want to highlight her as well as,
oh, for sure.
well as all the other seniors who work and play on the team, obviously coaches, all that. And so I know me and Mia are kind of working on that, but nothing specific as of yet.
Yeah, she keeps herself real busy. I mean, unlike our communication side and the planning for senior night and everything, she
Absolutely.
Is running around. I think we've talked about that TikTok where we need to have all the ladies in
heels,
like clicking, running around the arena and all that.
We get the clicks going around the arena.
Yeah, that needs to be some sort of TikTok in the next home series.
I will absolutely. I will make that happen.
Maybe we get some clicky dress shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But my buddy's got some tap shoes lying around here somewhere.
we start tap dancing if it gets one-sided on any of the matches. But you especially know from your days of how special senior night is. It doesn't
of course.
Matter whether it's at the high school or the collegiate level, but there's always some different feel when it comes to honoring those who have who have come somewhat before you. But this is even more interesting because first year ever of this program and honoring those who only get 1 year of this to be able to be around and see the fruition and be those sort of leaders and step up. So from senior night, at least from your high school days, I'm sure that's one of your fondest memories.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was always nice to honor the guys who came before, obviously. I had a lot of older mentors. I was very new to hockey when I started out. I had only been skating for a couple of years compared to these kids who had been on the ice their entire lives. And they, you know, it's nice to honor the people who mold you into the leader that you're eventually going to become. And obviously we've got some really talented young freshmen on this Alabama roster that are going to become leaders very soon.
Absolutely. Imagine how emotional that'll be for the freshmen now to that when they get to their senior day and senior night, especially thinking that they started the program and everything. That's going to be even more special.
It's going to be incredible next 4 years of senior night. It's our first through just our baby teams. It's a baby team, and they are just incredible. I've been really, really proud to watch them as a part of this team.
Well, especially you two are seniors, so you guys you're about to be on the graduation side as well. Remind me,
sophomore.
Okay, so you got some time. That we kept joking because we worked on a tournament this past weekend. We had a freshman on our crew. We kept making the joke, she's a freshman, she'll learn. Shout out to Eleanor Rodhouse.
Shout
on that
out
one,
to Eleanor. And we the love freshman you, Allie. Learned quickly.
Oh yeah, but then we also had the joke with sophomores. So she's a sophomore, she's still learning.
Yeah.
And then they're in the junior. Process. They should have learned at this point, and then they're a senior.
You should.
Oh no, we got no excuses.
No holds barred.
Yeah.
No holds barred. So we always have an odd topic on the podcast, and I told them beforehand. This episode publishes 7 days before Thanksgiving, so it would make no sense for us to do this without talking about the stuff. And we've got a mixture of people from different sections. We've got Kate from Canada, and they celebrate Thanksgiving a month before us, which, weirdos. But anyway,
well, bizarre. My family's Canadian, but I grew up most of my life in Utah, and we celebrate two Thanksgivings. So Canadian Thanksgiving is a month earlier because the crop is earlier in Canada, because it's colder, and we celebrate American Thanksgiving. And it's like the same foods. But
we've got another northerner from Connecticut, so I don't know where the answers are going to go on this.
It's going to get a little weird, Spencer.
Ronnie, you also grew up in
North Carolina.
Okay. Okay, so you're technically still in the South a little bit going up there. And then I also have northern roots on my mom's side and southern roots on my dad's side and everything. So this is going to be interesting. All right, I'll start with you, Kate, on this one. Your favorite Thanksgiving meal item, either side or main dish?
I love Thanksgiving. I love food. I love Thanksgiving food. I love it all. My absolute favorite is mashed potatoes. I love potatoes in every single form, and every single Thanksgiving, half my plate is always mashed potatoes, and I eat them all.
All right, fair enough. Fair and simple on the answer. Hannah, yours.
I would have to say sweet potato casserole, but it can't be the one with marshmallows. It has to have the brown sugar.
It's okay to have wrong opinions.
No, that's so fair.
It is okay to have wrong opinions.
Fair.
I enjoy good sweet potato too. That's just like maybe the cinnamon and sugar a little bit in it. The marshmallows, that's more a sweet potato souffle. That's a little more of my vibe, but I understand what you're talking about there. So I am scared of what Connecticut over here.
See, no, so. I was going the potato track. We used to go when we were kids. My mom would go the yams and marshmallows route, but we've upped the game up a little bit. Another shout out to my mom, of course, the greatest cook on planet Earth, but. we do the sweet potato casserole with pecans over the top, a little bit of coconut on there.
Ooh.
My dad would love
in there.
Snaps to your mama.
My dad would love the coconut side of things. He's like a whole coconut shrimp and like coconut any flavoring or that kind of stuff.
All right, Spencer, what's yours?
You know, I'm from the South. Mac and cheese is up there on the list there. Even though there's some
stick
people,
taps.
There are some people
the mac
from
cheese.
The North who claim that mac and cheese should not even have a space at the Thanksgiving table.
As the resident Northerner, I disagree.
Oh, yeah.
Mac
and cheese
belongs
there. There's a reason why we have these four at the table and not those people. Sweet potato casserole is also good too. I'm also one of those where I enjoy ham more on Thanksgiving than I do on the
See, that is weird.
I love
You've
turkey.
Lost me with the ham.
I love turkey.
Now, I will say
ham's for Christmas, dude. It's
I will
a turkey holiday.
Yeah. If it is the full like turkey leg. If that's cut off and everything, I
that's
just
like the
that
dark
makes
meat.
Sense
yes,
for you.
Yes. Yeah, full on like the Viking side.
I could have guessed Spencer would only eat it if he could like he I know he leg. Still fights over the children and his family, like, I want the leg.
Oh no, I don't fight. I just say I get one of the legs.
I get a
and
leg.
Everyone
called
everyone
it.
Agrees with me. So, yeah, so it's a, same thing.
Loser.
With, same thing with like a rotisserie chicken too. I'm going for the drumstick.
Okay.
Spencer, have you ever won the wishbone pull?
I don't think I've ever done the wishbone.
You guys don't do that.
No. I do. No.
I love that tradition.
I do too. Yeah. Want to do one?
Never have, but no, I have not done that at Thanksgiving. I don't even.
Do you watch the parade?
Oh, Macy's Day. Yeah. Up until football, I do.
Okay.
Once,
sure,
once football
sure,
comes
sure.
up, even though yeah. we've got some questionable games coming up on Thanksgiving.
The backup bowl in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. Backup bowl. Yeah.
Tommy DeVito and Cooper Rush.
Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Good time for a trip to fan nap.
Oh, yeah, that's where you start resting into a coma. And yeah. those
amen.
There. But
amen.
It's still funny to me how people will be like, why are we even watching this game on Thanksgiving? It's like, it's football. You're
it's,
still going to watch
it's
it.
Of course.
It doesn't matter what
of
the
course.
Game is.
Yeah.
Like, at least Netflix got it right with the Christmas games.
Yeah.
Those,
yes.
those matchups
yeah.
are going to be
yeah,
all
man.
And hopefully the streaming service actually doesn't crash with the amount of people who are going to be watching it.
For
like
real?
The Jake
oh, gosh,
Paul fight.
Yeah.
We were having that in Florida. Like, we were trying to watch a Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight, which probably shouldn't have thrown
biggest
a reference
waste
to,
of 3 hours.
fight
was awful.
Don't get in. Don't let me get into it.
But yeah, it was. Yeah, that was an interesting trip and in trying to get Netflix to work down in Florida. But hopefully that doesn't happen with the Christmas games for the NFL. But really fun episode. Will, appreciate you stepping in.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
And I know we're going to have you back at some point for rotating hosting duties as well. And for the, just a programming note, this is our last episode of the semester because obviously Thanksgiving is next week. Then we have Dead Week. So everybody, we can hopefully push them to focus on.
So we're all
going to
hibernate in
yeah.
the next yep. couple weeks.
We'll yeah. be studying.
Well, study.
Sure.
Me and
we're
Will are going to
page
study
here.
After this.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. So
jealous.
I have to grade stuff that people
ooh.
Have studied for. look.
He assigns the studying.
I'm just on a different level. No, I actually don't do final exams in my classes.
That was a nice thing.
I do not assign final exams.
We love
can confirm. Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me of doing those final exams. I'm like, why should I add to the stress
real.
Load when everybody
right.
else does the same thing?
Real,
but,
right.
I don't tell my department chair. But actually, they know. They know. But great first few editions of the Alabama Frozen Hour. It took a lot to get this to fruition. I'm sure you remember when we had that small, cramped room where
oh,
we
yeah.
recorded the first
tiny,
episode.
Tiny room upstairs.
Yeah, and then we found this. And then we
now
started
we're here.
Up. It's gotten a little out of hand in terms of the production side and everything, but it's resulted in a great, great first half of the season. But before we head into the holiday season, if you guys have any last words you want to say about podcast season, how things have gone, start with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm incredibly thankful to have a spot at this table most every week and a spot at the hockey games. I am somewhat new to this, but a senior, and I've learned a lot. I've been so happy to talk with y'all and you guys, and it was exciting to finally get an episode with Hannah. We
yes.
haven't actually
oh.
gotten on together yet. But great episode.
Really?
No, we've no. missed
oh,
each
man.
Other every time.
Yeah, I just realized that. Wow.
Yeah,
great, girl power.
Girl
yes.
power. Great episode to get. Nice dream team together and Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Fantastic. Yeah. Hey, Hannah, any final thoughts?
I would just say I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to be on this podcast, but also doing ringside reporting for the team and being able to learn and like get my foot in the door early in this industry, because I know it's a competitive industry.
Oh,
and
yeah.
definitely want to pursue a career in it, but thankful for all the people and networking I've been able to do through this. So.
You know, I didn't even realize the thankful and grateful side when we're 7 days away from Thanksgiving, so we're doing our kind of giving thanks early.
Yes.
I didn't
yeah.
realize that
sorry
was what I was trying
that.
To do here, but Will, I know
speaking
this
of
is the
giving thanks,
yeah,
the king of giving thanks.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and I know this is the only episode you've been on thus far, but I'm sure you've been watching as a fan of the women's hockey team for a little bit as well.
Absolutely.
Also hearing a lot of the stories from Kate throughout the season. So your chance if you've got any final thoughts as we head into the winter break.
Of course, and I obviously I'm new here, but I've been deeply passionate about hockey my entire life. This is my sport. I love it. And I'm so, so grateful for this opportunity to be here and to just talk shop with y'all.
Yeah, I'm just glad we have the lucky puck here again.
Yeah,
it's been
it
out
back.
In the center and everything. And I know Preston expresses sort of the same words of gratitude. He's off camera right now. I would not even trust him to put any words onto the microphone. Like, he is, his voice is shot.
Oh, no.
Like, when he came in here and first said something, I was like, okay, yeah, we completely get it. But he will be back in the saddle in full swing for the spring shows of the Frozen Hour as well. What was that? What symbol are you giving me off camera? I can't tell. Is that cheering? Okay, I couldn't tell. He's gripping his throat and pumping his fist in the air, trying to cheer. But we'll get Preston back in the spring and everything. That'll wrap up this episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. We will be back in full swing in January as we continue along in the rest of the regular season matchups and chug along to the College Hockey South playoffs. We'll try to integrate more of the men's team's personnel and players and staff as we head into their respective playoffs and regular season games as well. But for now, we will take a break for the rest of the holiday. So hope you all enjoy your Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever holiday you celebrate as well as we head into the winter season. For Kate Aitchison, Hannah Alpern, Will Morrow, as well as our producers on the other side of the camera, Jaden Watson and Andy Sakalis, all the hardworking men and women make this run so smoothly. I'm Spencer Thompson saying so long from Respite for All. The Alabama Frozen Hour's final episode of 2024 is in the books.